This is an interview recorded with Romano Marchioro for the Italian Market Gardening Oral History Project, recorded by Madeline Regan on the 11th of June 2012 in Romano's home at Lockleys, South Australia. Thanks, Romano, for agreeing to this interview. Could we start by you telling me your full name?
Romano Marchioro.
And Romano, what is your date of birth?
2nd of November 1942.
And your place of birth?
Henley Beach Road, Torrensville.
And do you know if your name had a significance in your family?
No, I couldn't. I don't know why Mum called me Romano. I really don't. No.
And what about your parents? What were their full names and approximate birth dates?
Vittorio Marchioro, he's born on the 23rd of the 12th, 06. And Mum was born on the 7th of April, 1914.
And her name?
Angelina.
And siblings, did you have brothers and sisters?
One brother, Giancarlo. That's all.
And do you know what your parents were doing around the time that you were born?
I don't think my father was in Alice Springs, I think, when I was born, because he was interned during the war. He was not... he was going for his citizenship, but the war broke out and the paperwork got delayed, and he was interned. He went to work in Alice Springs. And so Mum looked after my brother and I when he was away for, I think, 12, 18 months.
And so where did your family live at the time that you were born?
At Villetta Road. Frogmore Road.
At Kidman Park.
Kidman Park, yeah.
And in those days, what was the suburb called?
I'm sure it was Flinders Park. Yeah.
And cool. To complete the information about your background, can you tell me the name of your wife?
Marianna.
And when did you marry?
We were married 47 years. Yep. April the 21st, 1964. A long time ago.
Yeah, and your children?
Darren's the eldest, Vanessa and Martin. Do you want their birthdays? No.
They're married?
Three of them married. Darren has three children, two boys and a girl. Martin's got three boys, and Vanessa's got three boys. The last... She had a boy, then two, then twins, which were our last of our grandchildren.
So nine.
Yeah, nine grandchildren. We got eight boys and one little girl, and the little girl's a Down syndrome girl, which she's still beautiful. She's still one of very, very happy, lucky young lady. She is a young lady now. She's 15, I think. Because I get confused with their birthdays, they come so around so often. Last night we had one of our boys was 17, so we took him. We went to the Trotteria on King William Street for for a meal, which they enjoyed. Which I knew the boys there from that trattery, because they used to be, when we were in Hindley Street, they were in the Matsalina on the top of it, and that's where we've known each other for 40 odd years. Yeah.
And when you say you were in Hindley Street, can you tell me a little bit about that?
Well, Mariana's father opened the barbecue in, the original barbecue, and he opened that in 1958, I think.
That's a long time ago.
Yes. And he was... then we moved to Glenelg. When I was young, my father was a market gardener, and there wasn't enough work for my brother and I to work in, because he didn't have enough land. So Johnny worked in the, on and off, he had other jobs, but then he ended up back in the market garden. And I had an apprenticeship as a wood machinist, and then I didn't like that, and I got a job in a carpentry business, and I worked for Balderstones, and I fell off a bridge here, Findon Road Bridge. Well, I was married, not long after I'd married, and my father-in-law said, oh, this is no good for you. He said, come and work in the restaurant. And I went there and worked there for about 7 or 8 years, and then he sold the restaurant in Hindley Street, and we moved to Glenelg, and we've been there for the last 36 years. So that's where my days went.
And Romano, if we can go back to your family, I'd like to ask you about your parents and where they were born.
My dad was born in Marlo, and mum was Monte di Marlo, which is a hill overlooking Marlo, which is a nice place.
And whereabouts in Italy was it?
Northern Italy. It's about 100 k's from Venice, which we went back a couple of times to visit, which was good. Met all the cousins, and it was very interesting to see.
And do you know why your parents came to Australia? Perhaps if you tell me first about your father's situation.
Well, I think Dad's brother was here in Australia at first, and I think there's no work for him in Italy, because I think Dad done his military service, and when he finished his military service, he had no work available, so his elder brother was here, and he came to join his brother.
And do you know what year he came?
I think it was 1923 or 1927. Well, that'd be... Yeah, I think because he was only 22 or 23 when he came here. 1927.
Yep. And do you know what he did when he first came to Adelaide?
Well, he always told us the story that when he first came, he couldn't get a job anywhere. And there's two of them were taken to the... in country Victoria, I think, chopping wood. And they said they were there, they had to look after themselves for 6 months, and I think he got paid £5. And he always said he had this terrible toothache while he was there, but he worked for 6 months for £5. That's his early days in Australia. And then he come back, and he done some cement work, and then from cement work he went into the market gardening.
And that was on Frogmore Road?
Frogmore Road, yes.
And did he own the land that he was working?
No, I don't think he did, no. I'm sure he didn't. No, I think we rented that, then he bought where we were.
At?
Here.
At White Avenue?
White Avenue, at Lockleys here. So I was only... 10 now, though. No, probably eight or nine when we moved from Frogmore Road to Lockleys.
And what about your mother? Can you tell me the story of your mother coming to
Yeah,
Australia?
well, that's a, my they married by proxy. They Mum used to tell the story. She used to work with my father's sister in Italy, in a filanda they used to call them, and
What's a philander?
like a factory, yeah. And she got friendly, and she said her brother was in Australia, so they started riding, and from there she ended up coming. She got married in Italy, and my father was got married here. Like it was they were a thousand miles, thousands of miles apart, but they got married separately, virtually. And then she come here. She was married when she got here.
And do you know which year she came?
Now I think Johnny's born in 1940. I reckon it might have been 1938, 37, 38. I'm not quite sure. Can't remember exactly. Is that when I am the mate?
I think that
Yeah.
sounds about
Yeah,
right.
because my brother's 40, and I think, yeah, it'll be about, I reckon that'd be about right, yeah.
And so your father was already
Here,
here farming on Frogmore Road,
yeah.
and your mother joined
Yep,
him.
yep.
And would she have worked with him?
Oh, she did, yeah. When after, well, as I said, she had to. When she always tells another story that she had this terrible finger infection, and they were going to take it off, but they cut the top of a finger off, not the whole lot, but she'd done a lot of the work when Dad was away. She had to keep us and look after the farm. I'm not quite sure because what actually happened there, but no, that's she had it pretty tough in her early days, and she was telling me that, or she always said that one year I think they had a heat waves, it's 114 for about 10 days, and to cool off they used to go down. We had a well, that probably 20 foot underground, and they used to go down there to keep cool. Take me and my brother down there to keep cool. I can't remember it, but that's what she used to tell us.
And what do you remember about the family days at Frogmore Road?
Oh, I can remember. We at the our back door, we had a vine, grapevine that used to grow over the back that used to keep us cool in the summer, and we had up the on the corner of Frogmore Road, we had a dirt road that used to lead to our house. We had Mrs. Destro, which was actually she's Johnny's godmother. We used to go there all the time because she was Australian, and yeah, I can remember going to see there. Because I used to be a bit of a rat bag when I was a little one, so I used to go there quite often, I believe.
And what were your parents growing?
Oh, tomatoes mainly, and sometimes some potatoes, but not a lot. I think glasshouse was always the main go with Dad.
And what do you remember about other people living in
Oh.
that area?
Well, there was the Tonelados, and there was the Piovesans, and the Ballastrons, and Zalunardo, which is my, he was my godfather. They're all that in that area, which that's all Italians. There wasn't too many Australians around there. And they're all in the market garden.
And were they all growing similar vegetables?
Yes, yeah, 90% of them were growing all the same stuff, yeah. They all used to go to the city market, they all. And I remember when I was young, I used to go to the market with Dad. They always called back at, well, you used to get there, and they used to go to the Crown and Anchor, it was then. And I remember Dad always used to have rum and coffee early at 5 o'clock in the morning, you know, keep warm. I never used to have it, but I was a bit young, but I used to have a raspberry or something like that,
And you obviously have got up early
yeah. Yes,
to go.
yeah. I remember quite a few times I used to go being with Dad to the mat. It was a good experience, actually. The bell used to go at 6 o'clock. They all used to come around and take their orders, but then you had to, at 6 o'clock, they blew a whistle, and then they used to come and pick up all the gear that they've ordered, which is, yeah, it was good.
Is that like the merchants?
Yeah, the merchants used to come and, like the shopkeepers that bought, say, 20 boxes of tomatoes, you know, they had to wait till 6 o'clock before they could. I don't know why they done it that way, but I suppose give everybody a chance to buy.
And I was thinking about your dad being away for 18 months or whatever. How would your mum have worked the land?
Well, but I'm not quite sure how she done it. I think she might have had some help. I'm not quite sure, to tell you the truth. I don't know how she managed, but because Johnny and I are very young, because Johnny was born in 40 and I was 42, and that was the time that Dad was put away. Well, so that's, yeah. She never really, well, she might have used to say something, but I can't remember what she used to say about those times when she had to work.
And when you were growing up there, so the first 7 or 8 years,
Yep.
who would your friends have been?
Well, see, I was unfortunately, I was the youngest. Johnny was a couple of years older than me, and from that point on, he was probably a year or two younger than all the other, like the Piovers, and they were four. See, I was, as you say, I was probably five, and they were 10 or 11. So I was a little squirt, you know. I never used to mix because I, that's see, I all my growing up years, I never had a boy my age in the whole community, you know. They're all those 5 or 6 years older than me, which I, you know, that way I had more Australian friends than I did Italian friends. Whereas Johnny, all the Italian boys, they grew up and stuck together. I had nobody at my age to do that.
You didn't tag along?
No, they wouldn't let me. No, well, I was too little then, you know. They were 17 and I was 10 or 11, you know, which is too big a gap. And that, so, I remember that way. I used to still make a pest of myself, go around when they used to play, and but I was always the little one, always the youngest one there.
And Romano, you talked about the vine at the back of the house. I'm wondering if you could describe the house. What did it look like?
Oh, it was a tin shed virtually, you know. Those years they used to make them out of galvanised iron, you know, and it wasn't. It, I think it had 2 bedrooms and the kitchen. And you know, the Italians always used to, their kitchen was like their living room. They all lived in the kitchen. And you know, wooden stove, there's no electricity then. I think
And what kind of floor?
it was timber floor. I'm pretty sure we had floor. Yeah. I'm pretty sure.
And would that have been lined?
Yeah, I think they had it. It was lined. I'm pretty sure it was lined. Yeah.
And bathroom and toilet.
I think the toilet was outside, and we had a bathroom with the old bath, and that was it. You know.
And who would have built that house?
I think it was. I don't think Dad built the house. I think it was there when he rented the place. It must have been some Australian people. I'm not quite sure. I can't remember the Australian people that were there, but I can remember. I used to know there was a Destros. They were up the front, and on the other side of the there was. I had their name now, I've forgotten them. they're other Italian, but they weren't northern Italians, they were southern Italians. The name won't come to me. But all around that era, it's all vanity, you know. Not too many southerners there.
And do you remember people getting together, families getting together?
Yes, yes, yes.
What do you remember about that?
Oh, wherever there's a party, there'd always be heaps of, the whole neighbourhood used to get in the big shed and they used to carry on and, they used to have good times, really, for at that time. You know, they used to really enjoy them. I remember they used to sing a lot. Yeah. Now, I remember being young, we used to go to a lot of parties, weddings and christenings and, you know, not a lot of, maybe 21st, not too many, but not a lot of birthday parties, but it'd be christenings or baptisms, yeah, that's christening, isn't it? And weddings, yeah, there used to be a few weddings.
And where were the weddings held?
A lot of them, sometimes they used to be in halls, but sometimes, I remember the Bernays used to have big sheds, you know, but they were off Valletta Road, and then Frankie Ballastron's father, he had a huge shed, which they used to hold a lot of parties there. You know, it was a big, big shed.
And where were the Ballastrons?
There's Ballastrons everywhere.
Where were Frankie's family?
They were off Findon Road. They were off Findon Road. Well, on Findon Road, virtually the land, and then they had this huge. They had their house, and then they had the huge shed up behind. Then years later, they built on Findon Road. But I can remember that as a young boy. See, I suffered polio when I was. I think my second year, I was at Morris Brothers. I was in a wheel bed for months, and they used to cart me around I remember going to the parties in the wheel bed.
Because you weren't allowed to walk, or you couldn't walk.
No, I could walk, but they wasn't allowed to walk. I used to unstrap myself and get out and walk, but I wasn't supposed to, for the first few months. I was a bit unlucky with my, because my mother took me to the doctor, and she, because at the time, the polio was rampant, and instead of giving me injection, he sent me home, and I went back 2 days later, and he said it was polio, so if he had done it straight away, I could have been. I was, touch wood, I was very, very lucky compared to a lot of young people. I've just lost a little, my right leg's a little bit thinner than my left leg, but I was lucky I could still walk. I didn't have to use when I was younger, the first happened, I used to wear a boot with a brace, you know, you could tie it around your calf and to keep your foot up. But apart from that, yeah, so I was really unlucky. I should have not been there. But then Mum and Dad, they I was in infectious hospital at Northfield, and they weren't allowed to visit me then because it's infectious disease. But a priest was allowed to come and visit me, so the Italian priest used to come and, I think it was Father Romano was actually his name, he used to come and visit me because they're there for, I think, a month. Yeah.
Must have been a really difficult time for a little boy.
Oh, it's difficult for mum and dad too. You know, they had their fair bits to do and they hit them pretty hard because I think I'd be one of the few Italian lads in that area that got polio and I don't know how bloody got it, but I got it.
And Romano, do you know why your parents moved from Frogmore Road?
No, I think I do, but I don't know what I should say. I don't know if Johnny said anything, but we come and see my auntie. She lived here on Pearson Street, and Dad was going to buy a truck, a new truck, and we went to visit because I think my uncle might have passed away then, I'm pretty sure he had, and we went and visit my auntie, and when we got home, I'll never get this, and Mum said the ladri's been, which the robbers have been, and I was like, where are they? I didn't know what they were talking about, but apparently what happened? They lost the money for the truck.
Because they'd kept the money in the house?
Yes. Dad went to the bank, I think went to the bank the day before to get the money and then going to buy the truck the next day, and it was gone. So I don't think Mum wanted to stay there anymore. And this place come up for sale. And
the place that you're talking about is...
Was it Frogmore? There's where we were born, where I was born.
And then the place that came up for sale?
Was here at Lockleys, White Avenue here. And that's when we moved.
So was that something that you can remember, the family packing up?
I can remember that they were so very, very upset about the whole incident, yeah. They weren't £300, there was like £30,000 now, I should say. In those days, and it took them a long time to recover from that.
Must have been such a shock.
Yeah, it was.
So when your parents made the decision to come to White Avenue, Lockleys, yep. What was the land like that they were coming to?
The land was a market garden land because there's market gardens all around us, but it was... It's like in the middle of the nowhere. Then there was the dirt road. It was all dirt road from all the way along. There's bamboos all the way along, but we lived. Dad bought because the river ran along there. We could pump all the water out for his garden out of the river.
So you were right on the river.
Yes, right on the river. I spent half my young years in the river torrents. Then some of the bigger boys used to come there. We used to go fishing. In those days, it used to run dry in a lot of places. And there'd be big pools of water. And we'd all get there with buckets and throw all the water out. And all the fish would be down the bottom and all the yabbies would crawl out the side of the banks. And you end up with heaps of yabbies and fish.
What kind of fish?
There used to be perch and Mongolians eat long, skinny fish. They were good, eatable fish, the redfin perch. But these days, the chemicals would kill everything.
And what about the yabbies? How big were they?
Oh, they were beautiful, yeah, big. I always go yabbing, bring them home for Mum. Yeah.
And how would they be cooked?
Oh, Mum used to boil them. You can boil them, you can fry it, put them in hot butter and oil. Gumbri. Well, we used to have fun. Yep.
And when you moved here, I guess we should backtrack a bit and just talk about you going to school. I wanted to know, in your family, what language did you speak at home?
Italian. We always spoke Italian at
And was
home.
that dialect?
Dialect there, our northern, our Veneto dialect, like, which when I go back, sometimes I watch movies on Foxtel and they speak, they're from, my lady, it looks, sounds like mum and dad talking, which is good. I enjoy it every now and
And when you went to school, did you speak any English?
Oh, yeah. Oh, as I said, we had the, our neighbours up the road were English. I used to speak English all the time.
And when you first went to school, where did you go?
I went to Flinders Park.
So how would you have got there from
Walk. We
Frogmore
used
Road?
to walk.
Decent walk.
There it was.
So how would you, where would you have walked,
I went from where we were. We could walk right through the garden. We didn't have to go around the roads. We could walk through all the gardens. And I used to go with Joe Adami. I don't know if you heard of Adami, sand and metal. He's the same age as I. And we used to walk together to school. I only went there 1 year, my first year in grade one.
So you would have walked,
All through all the market
so what,
gardens.
once you got to Findon Road,
Yeah, we still kept going.
through the gardens of.
Yes. It's, well, it's Hartley Road now, but then at that time we used to walk where Adami used to be right on Findon Road. We used to just walk. There used to be Zorella's Market Gardens were down there, and that was my first year. Then my second year, we went to moved, and we went to Morris Brothers.
So, how would you have got to Maris Brothers from White Avenue at Lock Place?
Sometimes we used to catch the tram. We used to walk from here to Henley Beach Road and catch the tram. And when I got a little bit older, I used to ride the bike.
Because the school was located in
George Street, yeah,
at Theberton.
Theberton. So we used to walk from here, excuse me, to Henley Beach Road. From Henley Beach Road, we used to get the tram and then on the do it the other way back.
And Romano, did you have jobs to do for your mum and dad?
Oh, when I was younger, I know I don't remember too much, but when I got a bit 13 or 14, I used to help them in the garden or try. I didn't do a I used to try, pick tomatoes and do a little bits and pieces for them. Yeah. Because Dad was on his own. I remember he had a horse and he used to plough by, do all the ploughing by hand. But then later we got a rotary hoe, which was, everybody wanted to use a rotary hoe. But that was, very interesting times. But we were lucky in some ways. A lot of people didn't have the luck we did.
And how much land did your parents buy here at
They bought
Lockleys?
5 acres.
And how many glass houses could you fit on
I think
five
Dad had
acres?
14 was the maximum he had. Yeah. Then he well, then they move them every so often. They used to move them to put them on new ground all the
Were you involved with?
I used to help, yeah, doing the changing the glass houses and that.
And a pretty long job.
It was. You had to know what you're doing. You had to, but I wouldn't say I was the greatest helper around. But I used to do bits and pieces, not like Johnny. Johnny was. More into it, Well, he's a couple of years older, and he, as I said, he turned into a market gardener, which I turned into something else.
And Romano, how old were you when you contracted polio?
I think I was two grade three, probably about 10 years old. I missed. A year of school, and then from then on, I tried to do my best. But as I said, I was lucky that some people could, couldn't bloody walk. I was good enough to be able to still get around and still be a bit cheeky and do silly things.
I was going to ask you a bit more about your family and how your family celebrated birthdays. Do you remember how your birthday would have been celebrated?
Well, as I said, we were lucky. We were probably one of the first few people that used to have birthday cakes because of our Australian influence.
Mrs. Destro.
Destra, yeah. She had two daughters, Marie and Valda, which we used to, as I said, I used to be there all the time, but she used to, had a lot of time when as I said, I was pretty cheeky in my younger day. But no, we always used to try to have birthday parties, I'm pretty sure. I remember Christmas time, one year we got a beautiful big red fire engine, and after the next day it was gone. I don't know, where the hell was it? So the next Christmas I got the fire engine. I remember
And did it
that.
disappear the second
No,
time?
after that I think we allowed to keep it. But the first time it disappeared, and we got it again the following year.
And how would Christmas have been celebrated? Just in your family or wider group?
I don't think that Christmas was celebrated like it is today, but I think it was just in our family group, yeah. No, I honestly, that's one of the things I cannot really recall Christmas at all.
And what about First Communion, First Holy
Yes,
Communion?
yes, yes, I remember that. I remember my confirmation, which my godfather was. Mr. Egidio Balestrin's father. He's my godfather. And yeah, well, as I said, we were going to Morris Brothers. Then I went to the church, Queen of Angels. That's and my an Archbishop Bevich, I think he was the Archbishop. Bishop at the time. This is going back a long time now, but I remember my religious beliefs were always drummed into us at school.
And what about in the family? What was the family feeling about religion and going to church and
Mum and Dad never used to go that often, but Johnny and I, we used to ride our bikes from here. We used to go to Findon Church every Sunday. Well, Mum made us go. Mum made sure we went to church, but they never always used to go.
And did you have to get dressed up to go to church?
Oh yes. Always dressed up. Always our Sunday best. Yeah, we always used to call in to Balestrin's on the way home with our bikes, and because when we were here, that we couldn't get a paper delivered. So we used to get Sunday mail delivered at their place, and we used to pick it up and take it home from there.
Why couldn't you get the Sunday
Because
paper?
there's no other houses here. We were the only house up the top up there. Here was all this where we are now was all lemon trees. The only other house was on the corner as you come up.
On Henley Beach
No,
Road.
no, no. Pearson Street there. But we're all those. There's no houses on the left here, where Ada's mum and dad lived, and that, but they come later. But there's nothing. This is all like it's like jungle. It's like when I first took Mariana home to meet the parents, she wondered where the hell I was taking her because there's no lights. There's big bamboos everywhere, and so that's what happened there.
So it was really like the country.
Yeah, it was. But and we were, what, 5 kilometres from the city. Yeah.
And who else had gardens around this
There was
area?
Australian people. We had Boss Shulan, he was called. He in his younger day, he owned from here to Henley Beach Road. Oh, he owned a huge amount of land. And then there was Boulderstone's owned land. Here was Rugari's, He was a Italian person. He married an Australian lady. He was Joe Ruggieri, and his daughter was Zari Day. She married Ian Day, the football, if you know him. And this was his property where we are now, and the other side was Lewis's, and then the Lewis sold it to Balderstones, you know, the builder. You heard of Balderstones, the builder? That was the brother of the builder. Then they sold out, and he went and worked for his brother. So it's all market garden area because of the river. Yeah.
And your schooling, well, before I ask about schooling, I was going to ask about whether your parents kept in touch with relatives in Italy.
Oh, she used to get letters every 6 months, not like now. Every now and again she'd get a letter and say, "Oh, your auntie said this or your grandfather said that," but not a lot of correspondence there.
And who were your parents' main friends?
There was Ballastrons, Chisel and Maria Ballastron. There was Mr. and Mrs. Zampin, the Zampins. There's other. There was in that group, but the Ballastrons and the Zampins were there. And then across, then there was Elsa and her husband later, and because they come later.
The Innocentes.
Yes, and there was their aunt, Angelo's uncle was Compostella. Yeah, they lived next door to, but they had garden there.
And how many of these people were from the Veneto?
All of them, yeah.
So was it a strong sense of being a community of
Oh,
vanity?
yes. As I said, when they used to hold the parties, there'd probably be 100 people. They'd all be vanity. They were all from very much the same area. Because we're from virtually, they're all from Treviso mainly, but we're from Vicenza, which is, not a long way away, but we had the Bernos, which were very good friends. Yeah, they were another good friends of the family. I don't know if you knew heard about the Bernos. Yeah. Sorry about this cough, smoker's cough. But
And do you think that I'm trying to get an idea of where the vanity was situated? Was it mainly the western side of the city?
well, the ones that I knew were here. They were all this side. You have as I said, the Burnos, and they owned half of Findon and Lockleys there. Then they had the Ballastrons, which were across the road, across the river from us. There was Gillo, and his cousin. Actually, they weren't brothers, but they were the Ballastrons. They had a huge He big lot of land over there. Then there's Frankie's father, Jimmy's father. They're all over that side. That's the Ballastrons. Then you have the Tonelados and the Santons and the Burnos. They were all in that area. Well, the only there was the Reckies, which they weren't vanity, but they were Napoletani. But they were there on Findon Road. I played golf with Mel every Wednesday and Thursday. So he was Johnny's. He used to knock around with Johnny when he was, well, he's in that group with Jimmy and Johnny and Bruno. They're all that same age. But see, I was that 4 years, 5 years younger, which
Is a difference, isn't
yeah, the
it?
difference.
Yeah. You know, when you think about those families, would it be true to say that a number of them had a number of sons who were involved in business, or they farmed together?
Well, when you look at it, like Frankie, he worked the garden, but Jimmy didn't work the garden. He was there wasn't a lot. Like Johnny, he worked the garden, but there wasn't really a lot that went on with the market gardens or the Santons. See, they were, well, for Tom Allardo's, none of their boys, I think, carried on with the market gardens. They got too money for, much money for the land, so they all sold up and left. But the only Johnny and Frankie, I could say, in that group were the only ones that. See, Bruno never. He was an engineer, so he never. Oh, he used to grow a little few tomatoes, but Bruno's brothers were went into the market garden, but they ended up giving it away. So, out of the group of the. At that time, not a lot of the boys carried on with the market gardens.
And why do you think that might be?
Well, for a start, I think, you know, the land would have, the fathers might have sold the land, and then the education, you know, they got more educated with the kids, and see what Jimmy went into concrete, and well, somebody else done. You know, Bruno's an engineer. That's the schooling helped him get ahead. But you know, Johnny wanted to. You know, he liked doing that. You know, as you can see. And Frankie, he done it for a long time too. He lived wasn't far from Johnny's place when he moved from Findon to. Just off Port Wakefield Road there, by Bolivar. I can't think of anybody else that took it on.
It's interesting that it didn't continue, as you
No.
say, with many of
No,
the next generation.
not the next generation, not too many at all. See, I see the Sandon boys, I don't think too many of them, you know, their sons went on for it. Tom Allardo's. None of them. No, they all went different ways, different directions.
And also,
Well, because the land got too expensive to maintain because of the taxes, you know. And they all moved up Johnny's way, up Bolivar way with the market. A lot of them went that way because here they sold out, of course. And then. The kids got better jobs.
and the land got sold.
Yeah, real estate, yeah. See, Dad sold his property. Well, I was working in the barbecue inn at the time, and we used to get a lot of people, a lot of eight land agents, and we just happened to be talking one day, and Dad always said he wanted to sell, wanted to sell, so I said this guy come down and. They sorted it all out, and they virtually see. Unfortunately, we weren't smart enough, but to see the bloody government took half Dad's land for reserve
Along the river.
along the river, and they never got a cracker for it. Never got a penny, and they claimed all this land. If we weren't smart enough to get a lawyer to fight that. We should have got paid for that.
And when your father decided to sell, how did the land get divided? Or, you know, how did it, how many houses got built?
I think there were probably about 8 to 10 blocks, I think. Yeah. See, where's houses and there's. And it goes back around and it stopped where Hewland. Yeah. But the we Dad lost all half his land through to the government. They reclaimed it. Which was wrong.
And Romano, going back to your life, how many years of school did you have at the Maris
I
Brothers?
went to second year high school.
And how did you like school?
Oh, I was a bit of a rat bag at school. I As I said, I didn't start because being with my polio, I got spoiled a bit. Mum and dad, if I wanted something, they'd go and get it for me. Whatever I wanted, I got. And I didn't like school. And then I went, as I said, I got a job as a wood machinist. But I done well there. I done my apprenticeship, and I passed that, so I was a qualified wood machinist.
Who did you do your apprenticeship with?
Sutton's Furniture, it was called.
And where were
They
they?
were at Theberden, West Theberden. And then I met Mariana, and as I said, I got a job as a carpenter, which I wasn't a carpenter, but I got passed as a carpenter, and I got work for Balderstone in the construction, where you don't have to be too. It's all concrete work, which was quite simple, really. All you only use your brain a little bit. And I worked at Adelaide Hospital for 18 months, and then I got transferred here to the Findon Road Bridge. And there was two of us and a foreman, and we done most of that work. And when we're nearly completed, I got pushed. I accidentally got pushed, and I fell on the side of the river, and I broke me bone in my ankle. As I said, then my father said, "This is not a job for you, come." Then I went into the work at the barbecue inn. I worked there for 7 years or 8 years till they sold it. And then we went into partnership here at Glenelg, my father-in-law and I.
And what work were you doing for the 7 years, say, at Hindley Street?
Oh, cooking, preparation. Yep.
And how was that moving from doing
Well,
that other work?
it took a bit of time. Yeah, you learn. You just watch and see what they're doing. Because my father-in-law, he's a trade. His parents before the war owned a abattoir in Yugoslavia, and he was very, very good butcher, and he knew to. I used to go with him to buy meat, because then I could drop. Even before I started working there, was some time off. I used to go there, and we used if I had holidays or something, I'd go, and we had a van, and I used to go with him, and we'd go to meat places, and he'd go there, and he'd have a stamp, barbecue stamp. He'd stamp all the meat that he wanted. And if they didn't send it, oh, because those days, barbecue in and Hindley Street, they used to serve a couple of hundred people of a day. It was so busy. I remember we used to shut at 10 o'clock, and then my father would help one of his friends, so we'll open it till 1 o'clock. And at 1 o'clock, you still have people trying to get in, and after a while, that gentleman left, and I used to do a lot of the night 1 o'clock shifts, But and then we went down to Glenelg, where we'd been for the last 36 years.
And you work there every day?
At Glenelg, I used to work, when I first started, I used to work from, to get there at 6, come home about 11 at night. Yeah, that was. When we first went down, there were father, because he wanted to go to Port Adelaide, and we said we'd go to Glenelg, so we picked the spot. He said, "Ah, Glenelg's village, Glenelg village, village," and so we opened up. And the first night we opened, we only had two waitresses on. I think Mariana was there. I was there cooking on me own, because we didn't. And we were full. The next night, we were here, and it's absolutely the same. And we weren't expecting it. And there's a bloke wrote from the advertiser, the dining man from the advertiser. His name was Stan James. You remember Stan James? Well, Stan come in this particular night, and we didn't, At the finish, I said, "I'm Stan James from the advertiser." I said, "Oh, yeah." So he said, "I write a bit about for you in the paper." And He was a tremendous rider, but he said, you know, that's the wait's been worth, because he said he had to wait. He said, because we were that busy, people had to wait to be served. He said the wait was worth it, and from that day on, you know, it was so full for so long. We were so lucky in a way, very lucky.
But it sounds like it was really hard work
Oh,
too.
it was hard work, yeah. But then later years, we got a good lady in. She and Marianne and I had a, quite a lot of time off. We still done a lot of work, but then we relaxed. We got a couple of cooks, and that was after about 10 or 12 years of working 7 days a week. But that's the way you got to, had to do things.
And Romano, we might leave that there just at this point
Yep.
and pick it up in the next interview. So thank you
Right.
very much.
That's okay.